JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Round 19 of the AFL season has been run and won.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Gold, gold, gold for Australia.
It's been a bit,
Purple, why don't we've already done Arnie Titmus, but we've got to revisit it. How good?
Have you got the bug?
How good? I think it's right up there with the great Australian sporting moments.
I totally agree.
The way she swam that race, Bill, and I know you've discussed it already, but time to run and,
it was good. Mowed her down, the champ.
What about how nervous she gets? I wouldn't even know Arnie if she walked through the doors, but you get so nervous for her, don't you?
Geez, she just came. How good. You're thinking, 100 to go. Yeah. This is when you lay it down. And she was superb.
Timed. It was just beautifully timed.
Oh, speaking of timing, Geelong doing the same thing.
Yeah, they are. They are. And also, too, producing another X factor potentially in Asava Radigalia. We know he's had ability for some time, but it took until game number 50, which it was against Richmond on the weekend, Bill, for him to kick the four goals and look as comfortable as any player on the ground in the competition even. And there's just another element now, another dynamic to that forward line. And with Jeremy Cameron still expected to get back round 22, round 23, Rowan's fit again. Mitch Duncan's the only worry in an injury sense. But I reckon they stick with him, even in that that makes that forward line very big.
But
I feel that Chris Scott loves him as much as any player on that list and wants to, I think, prove the competition that he was right in assessing him as a pretty good talent.
Had a big week, the Radigalia. His birthday during the week, only turned 21, maybe. Of course, kicked the most goals. He's kicked now four goals. But what I liked, he brought it to ground, didn't he, a couple of times. Didn't mark it. And some of his marks, doesn't he clunk them beautifully?
The other thing, Bill, is the danger. Missed a bit, and then he just slowly came back. He's right back.
So he's finding some nice form and kicking goals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other one's Reece Stanley, I reckon, going along nicely. If he just keeps going along nicely, the Cats go even
You're
better.
A big fan of Reece Stanley, Bill, aren't you, when he plays
when he's going well?
Yeah.
No doubt. No doubt about that. Richmond, to me, they have dropped off, and we know they've got injuries and all that. So, they've just...
We'll get to them on the other side of the equation. Soon. The other big winner, and it just franked what they'd been doing and what they were set up to do, is the Bulldogs' performance against Melbourne. I know Melbourne was inaccurate and Ben Brown was the culprit there, but the control that they had on that game for most of it was impressive. We've seen enough from Bontempelli since.
Wins the Brownlow, Bontempelli.
I reckon he wins it quite easily, Jim.
He's the best footballer in the comp.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
By some way.
Ollie Wines will get votes.
Yeah, but he's not in the same class as Bontempelli.
No,
his ball use. Those couple of entries late when he jammed it down the Ugel-Hagen's throat with the wrong foot.
Once with the wrong foot, once with his normal left foot.
That's what separates him from the rest. His ball use is extraordinary. I thought Luke Beveridge had a really good night and week. The way he set that team up, we all looked at the lineup and thought, geez, they're going in tall.
Yep.
Threw Shacky back. That was an outrageous success.
Yeah.
And also, what I liked about it, Purple, and I've said this regularly, is you can't overpossess the ball in finals. That smart-ass handballing over your head and flicking it around, it's just going to come undone. Mm. That was gone.
With
when the conditions were wet, they just stuck to what good sides do. I thought they were so impressive.
You're right, and the reference there to the Shacky had struggled at his time in the AFL, let's face it, particularly in recent years as a Bulldog, but they had a hole down back with what's been happening injury-wise with Gardner, and Keith went down in the game, and the fact they'd had got him some time in the back line in the VFL scratch match arena, it just allowed them to then, okay, there's a bit of confidence, you go down there, and he might have to hold up the position for the remainder of the year. Whether he does or can, but he at least gives himself a chance to do so
and be part of a... But he's got to put a few together.
He does. He does have to. Yeah. But he wasn't going to get a spot in that forward line that Ugel-Hagen seems to be a preferred option, rain or no rain.
I'm with you. Geelong and Western Bulldogs, they were the big performances. You just got to win this time of year too, Bill.
Yes.
So Port Adelaide just win. Brisbane just win, West Coast just win, Sydney just win.
Yeah, and
just banking them.
The first three you mentioned, I reckon they just had to get through, didn't they? When Brisbane had lost the previous two against St Kilda and Richmond, and at half time against the Gold Coast, they were in a bit of trouble. But was it, Bill? 13-9 to 1-5. After that point.
After half time.
You just got to get the win. West Coast did what he'd had to do against St Kilda. They played with a bit more urgency. That was noticeable. I still don't see it being finals winning worthy. But having said that, they're trying something different, yep. and they had to because they're going nowhere.
Who's that? West Coast.
That was West Coast.
Are we on positives?
Yeah,
just in that
positives.
Game.
Yep.
Maxi King.
Yeah.
Well, a breakout. That's a breakout game that he needed because you think back a month ago, couldn't kick goals.
It was against Geelong when he kicked 1-6 or 1-5.
Yeah, and he kicked what? 6-1. But 8 contested marks, and they were all bloody good marks. So that's a big game for him, Jim. He just goes further now.
But he does the hardest thing in footy, and that's mark it inside forward 50.
Yeah.
The accuracy, I think, will come as he emerges as a player. But if you've got a player inside, what, Rabs, 40 games? How many's Maxi played now? He wouldn't have played that many.
It wouldn't be 40 because he missed his first year in the system, didn't he, with the knee.
So if you're taking the marks, he's taking inside 50 week on week. He is just going to be a blue blood, no doubt about that.
Don't know why McGovern didn't go to him, though.
Yeah.
That was
but he never does.
Yeah, 35 games for
35,
Max.
35, so that is very impressive.
I tell you what, impressive. North Melbourne, Jim, your mob.
Well, we'll get to them in a sec. Sydney as well, talking about just winning. They weren't great in the first half, but they fixed it up and are just doing the right things.
They do it with a conviction, don't they, Jim? And it's there's a desperation with every chase on a ball. There's a desperation when they've got the ball themselves. And they've just got faith in each other to spread off and pair off. And they just know where they are meant to be with or without footy. And there are a couple of times they just hunted the Dockers, particularly in that second half. As we speak, we don't know what the match review office adjudication is on Buddy Franklin. I feel he's going to miss a week the way they seem to be judging those things this year. And I don't think that's the worst thing for Buddy personally. He's been up for most of the year, Bill. And that's a surprise given what he'd been unable to do in previous years, that being all of 2020 missing and the most of the back half of 2019. So he's been
great. What
about
the clean cut, Isaac?
How good is he? Yeah.
Mate,
and some of the marks he's taken. Yeah.
Oh, well, let's talk about that. The speed of positives. The three marks over the weekend.
Yeah.
And well called, it got a bit high there at one stage.
Not a bit, pills
not
have dropped.
No, yours, Jim.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually referenced that myself.
I know. We referenced yesterday on the Sunday footy show, actually. We all had a chuckle over you.
Cody Waitman over Maxi Gorn, you're referring
to. That's a big grab.
DeConing was great.
And Heaney.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
How are you ranking those three, Bill, out of the weekend?
Waitman's. Heaney,
I've got Waitman.
DeConing.
Yeah. And just on that conversation, Jim, I've still got Revold, the best of 2021. Oh, it's been a great year for high marks.
Been.
You've got Revold, you've got
I love Shea Bolton.
O'Brien
in the
same goal square as Shea Bolton, but I've got Revold.
I got Bolt.
Yeah, hey, traditional big hangers. Yeah, that is just magnificent.
Just on the Cody Waitman marker, we might have it here. Have a listen to Jim.
Cody Waitman! Maxi Gorn's a poster once again.
See, you try and set it up.
Almost smiled.
Sucked in
that's
fat.
That's about the fourth time someone sat on my head.
Sucked in fat.
That's not
see,
you.
That's good.
That is
that's
so
you trying to be a smart
you,
ass.
Who jumps in and says we got the mark here.
Purple, we move on to North Melbourne. And they got so bad at the first half of the season, we actually didn't reference them either way.
Just didn't talk.
We didn't even talk about it. But the thing we have said is, and not just me, you and Bill, we've said their kids are good.
Yes.
Davies Uniacke's good. Taron Thomas is good. I think Powell is going to be a really good kid.
Are we talking about Nick Larkey still as a kid?
Nick Larkey, no. And Simkin, no. They've advanced a little further than that, but they're both beauties. So
7 goals for Nick Larkey.
They have got the young group is good.
Yeah. And Jim, it was the turning point was the round 9 game against Hawthorne. And from that moment on, Bill, they've gone 4 wins, 5 losses and a draw from that time on. And all their numbers obviously correlate with that scoreline and that form line. It's been a significant back half turnaround for that footy club.
But you know you've played them, Damo.
You do.
Because they go pretty hard. They're a pretty hard side when you look at Cunners and
the Zoo.
The Zoo and all that.
The Zoo just wants to hurt people.
I know.
Yeah, he does.
And he hurt himself.
He did hurt himself.
But personal bests on the weekend, Larkey 7.
Yep.
Taron Thomas 4. Bailey Scott had his best game.
He might have,
possessions.
Yeah.
And the third quarter where they kicked 7. I like North. I thought they were
a bit
good.
Out of Phillips.
And Stevenson. Three goals. And just that element of class which every forward line needs. And you need to cut him some slack for those games he doesn't perform in. So, really, really like. Just want to give mention to Lachie Whitfield, given he started the season. So, unfortunately, with that kidney or liver damage, wasn't it, that he had in an off-season training mishap, but he just has not missed a beat since he's come back in. Had he played the full season, he might be being talked about as we are with Bontempelli and Wines when it comes to the massive votes.
Or if he played with a Melbourne side, a bigger Melbourne side.
Well, that won't stop him getting Brownlow votes, though, playing for GWS.
No, but we talk about
him
see him a lot more.
Yeah, and Tom Green, too, to be dropped twice within the season, and I think now is a standout candidate for the Rising Star Award, it just goes to show how much impact he's having.
Oh, that It's a very good performance from them. Are we going to get to the other side of that game? Yep. Because, my goodness, what the hell happened to the Bombers?
The Rush Hour, Triple M.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and Damien Barrett is in the studio to chat round 19.
All right, so we've got one spot available in the eight.
Yes.
And it is wide open, the eighth spot.
There's four teams.
Four teams. Yep. Essendon could have almost shut the gate yesterday, and my goodness, what happened to them?
I don't know.
Three goals up at halftime, and then kicked one more goal for the game.
Yeah. Maybe that's where they're at, Jim. Maybe the surge they've been on is not the true Essendon, and maybe what we saw yesterday is, and they've left themselves with a bit of work to do now, haven't they? And it's an opportunity totally missed.
Ben Rutten turned around afterwards and said we'd just be making up the numbers even if we got there, which is a pretty strong comment.
They would be if they dished up the second half of yesterday. I don't subscribe to that view because I think their good has been at least finals worthy. Now, whether it's finals win worthy, I can't lay claim to that. But I like what they've done, but again, they're a young team. I want to cut them some slack. I know you're not happy with them yesterday.
No, well,
but,
just because of what was on the line.
Yeah.
They almost locked that spot away.
Yep. And then GWS, as we touched on before, seized that moment and got themselves back into the eight. Richmond, Bill, tell me what you're going to do with selections when it comes to these next four matches for the Tigers. Fremantle?
What do you mean, what am I going to do?
Are you going to tip
Richmond?
Win.
Yep. Yes, just.
North Melbourne?
Yes.
GWS?
Not sure
about that one. And then Hawthorn.
They should win three of them.
They should win
I reckon
three
if they
or
win three of them, gets them in.
Yeah.
And if they win four, and then let's face it, they're going to start either favourite or not that much of a long shot against GWS in the third of those four games. So I've still got them making the finals.
Yeah, okay.
So for that reason, what happens there, who knows? But they've left themselves with a heap of work to do. I want to touch on St Kilda. It was indicative and almost summed up their entire season with Rowan Marshall being unavailable for that game for exposure to COVID. It just, to me, summarised them and how things have gone against them in 2021. Him being unavailable for that reason, they lose the game by 8 points. Maxing has a breakout game. They can't capitalise and win. I reckon if he plays, they probably do win. It just, to me, just goes to show this club's on the verge of it, but for reasons that they can control some, but not when it comes to Marshall, have just been unable to get on any form of a role substantial enough to get him in.
I'm with you. After winning a final last year, Bill, they should have been looking at top four, pushing towards it.
Yes.
Now, whether they got there or not, you know, maybe, but they should have been really having a crack at getting a double chance this year, and now they're going to miss entirely unless they have a huge finish. They'll be disappointed.
They would be, no doubt about that.
A couple of massive losses early days in the first half of the season. Yeah, a couple of 90 points plus and even 100 points it was. Just to mention too to Fife, to me it's been really hard watching him this year, knowing how sore he is and knowing how time he goes for the ball, that shoulder can
shower
pop
up and that's it.
Yeah, and it popped out again yesterday. Yeah. It's the third time it's happened this year, and it's probably the 15th time it's happened to him in his career. And I guess there's some players who need to be protected from themselves sometimes. Yep. And now the decision's been taken away from everyone's control. The body now says, he's not going to play again this year.
It was an ugly incident. We're getting kicked.
Yeah.
It was a horrible-looking thing.
You just see how much pain he was racked with, but he just wasn't going to show it, was he? And that's indicative of what that man's about. Pendlebury, too, on another matter, fractured leg against Port Adelaide when he got tackled, and he's out for the year too. So, and then the replacement expected for him as captain, Taylor Adams, was also banged up. So, I hope he's okay. He's banged up.
Hey, Collingwood weren't bad considering.
No, they weren't.
Considering they're a young side and they lose Pendlebury. I thought they were right. They had a go.
Yeah, but they could still finish Wooden Spooners, Bill. They're only 2 points ahead now of North and Hawthorn.
So can Hawthorn, by the way.
Yeah, and Collingwood and Hawthorn play each other in the remaining four games. And so that will shape that. The big disappointment, though, and I've deliberately left them to this point, Jim, was David Teague and Carlton. We're now five games into the review, or since the review was called. Five matches have now been called. And David Teague's 46 matches in charge of the Blues. If that wasn't the worst of the 46, it's in the Quinella, I would think. So produce that performance at this stage of this season, not good for him.
You let the worst team in the comp rattle seven on unanswered. Mm. That if you're a decent footy side, that shouldn't happen.
No.
I mean, you can get beaten sometimes by the bottom side, that's fine, but you don't allow that to happen in game. That just means something is horribly wrong.
It does, and you cut him some slack with Harry Mackay being unavailable, but that doesn't allow or justify, as you said, that sequence of goals that North kicked. And
does
and
he look defeated?
Yeah, he does.
Teague, when he's interviewed now, I reckon.
Well, every single post-match press conference he conducts, he mentions the word belief, and he mentions we are going to make finals, but there's no belief because they're not showing it for yet again. They're going to miss finals, and the finals that he refers to just keeps being pushed out into the future, and eventually he's not going to be part of that future of that footy club. And
you
I don't know
you'd
how.
Like to see him fire up or something, wouldn't you?
I believe he does internally, Bill.
And no, just get these presses because they're very dull.
They are. They're not inspiring, are they, to supporters? To supporters. But, Jim, the fact that Luke Sayers called this review when he did it, it was a little bit of a left-field move, wasn't it? The way it was received was a bit surprising to a few people on the outside. But it's a smart move because had he not done it, there would have been calls for him to do it and have to do it right now.
At least they're
down the track with it.
The only thing with reviewing people I don't get is why you need to make it public.
Yeah, you've always said that.
If someone says to you, are you going to review your footy department, function, you should say, as the chairman, we do it every year, which every decent footy club
and
does.
You
some
that,
do it twice a year.
You said that every year when you're in charge of them.
So we are constantly reviewing what we're doing. So you don't have to make it public and therefore make the findings, if they're not public, why are you hiding them? If they are public, well, then it looks horrible. Well, you shouldn't actually end up in that position.
But do you do it for the supporters?
Or do you do it for yourself? Coming in as chairman, replacing Marco Giudice, trying to distance yourself, even though you were on the board,
We did a review, and this is what we're having.
I admire it, though, because it's going to be really hard to sell hope going into 2022 again with the same structure of people. Now, whether David Teague is still part of that structure or not, at least if he does survive the review, at least the club can say, well, we've totally researched it, and we're going to give him one more go. But, had they not called it, it would have been worse. One more to Melbourne. They've just lost their luster, haven't they?
A little bit.
You look at them, and they're still third on the ladder, aren't they?
So can't score.
You take that, I think, at the start of the year. Certainly you take that at the start of the year. If someone said to Melbourne, after round 9, you're going to be third, you take it. But unfortunately, they were this tearaway leader for a large part of the year. There's nothing scary about that team, is there? The back line is still the key part of it, but clubs have worked away into that space these days without Lever and May being dominant, and they've still got massive issues up forward without the main focus point.
They can't score.
Yeah.
That's their problem.
That is a good point, Bill. Well, the last 5 weeks, they just haven't been able to.
Benny Brown missing didn't help. I mean, I don't know what's going on with him because he used to never miss. And now he looks like a 50-50 proposition at best.
And had he kicked those two early, you just don't know how that game unfolds.
And he kicked one out the bounds on the full, which missed the target by close to 50 metres. It went hard right.
The one that went,
I mean, how do you kick it that badly? For a guy who kicks so beautifully for so much of his career, I don't know what's going on. But he actually, outside of that, I thought he had a bloody good game.
There was a presence there, but ultimately there were two goals only when it's all said and done, and they lost the game before.
They've got some resetting to do. Not bad, maybe. You get a little short back and sides a month out, and you can work out what you're not doing well enough, and then get to September with a few things sorted out, maybe.
Yeah, I'm just not as confident that they're going to sort it out, though, Jim. I think they've been exposed, and to this point of this pressure patch that they've now endured, I haven't seen enough of a response to think it's going to naturally flow into it.
Yeah, I haven't lost faith in them, but I do think they do need to fix some things.
The bus is coming up, I look forward to, because you had a go at Damo last week.
I just thought, maybe it had to go.
Damo said, I'm keeping it at Carlton, and we got some audio, I think we have.
Is the bus that's been parked there for the best part of 2.5 years after that meritorious win against their arch rival, is it going anywhere? Hit it, rabbits.
That's a good point, Jim.
It's on blocks, that bus.
You've actually caught me off guard.
It hasn't got any wheels.
You know what?
It's been left there that
I'm leaving it there.
No, Damo.
I'm leaving it there.
No.
I just want to see it again. I nearly buckled, Jim, but I'm glad I held firm.
Well, they're your buses. You can put them wherever you like. You decided not to move it, and my God. So what happens now?
Well, we put another one down.
You're sending another one.
That one that's been on the blocks, we can't move it. It's actually part of the. Actually got heritage listing down there now, and we're going to send another one down there for a bit of company this week because there's a bit going on there, I think.
It's got that. The first bus has got people living in it.
Yes.
Like into the wild. Yeah. It's actually got residents in the bus.
The coach.
Into the wild.
Oh, Bill.
I think he's got the sleeping bag in his. Oh. I got something for you, Dan.
All right, come on.
Round 19 just completed.
Yep.
Do you know this time last year, with the hub and up in the Gold Coast, we just completed round 9.
There you go. Wow.
It's unreal, isn't it? So they must have played a lot of footy You kind of forget how much was played.
Well, it went into late October.
Yeah, October 24 was the grand final date, and they had that footy frenzy, didn't they, on two or three different occasions. So,
what's going on this weekend, by the way? Do we know?
Not yet. No, again, as we speak, there's expectation that the Friday night game will be the St Kilda Carlton game, which doesn't engender a lot of razzle-dazzle in me, Jim, when it comes to it. But the
Richmond are flown to Perth, yeah?
Yeah, they've got a quarantine in some sorts, and Eagles over there. And the five-day breaks that each club has said, yes, we can have one of, and the AFL Players Association has ruled against any club having a second one. So it's really limiting what they can do and can't do with the fixture. But as it stands, the Essendon-Sydney game that's penciled in for the Friday night game won't be in that slot the way we read it, but that will be official at some stage of today or tomorrow.
All right, thanks for that, Purple. Always great to see you.
Thanks, Jim.
Damo's recovery session.